Shalom Aleichem Tzadikim. Baruch Hashem, Shabbat Shalom. We're getting into Parashat Chaye Sarah. Thank God, the Torah, we're making progress. And we're up to the Parasha after the Akedah, after the sacrifice of Yitzchak. And essentially, Sarah is passing away now. Sarah is passing away, Sarah Imenu, the first mother of the Jewish nation. And in this parasha, we deal with her burial and the purchasing of Hebron. Hebron, one of the four holy cities of the land of Israel and the nation of Israel. We have four holy cities that align with the four elements of the world. Jerusalem, the holiest city in the whole entire world, is the city of fire. Tzfat Ir HaKodesh, the city of air, wind, breath. Tveria, city of water, and Hebron, which is the city of our forefathers, is the city of the earth. It's also the opening to Gan Eden. The opening to Gan Eden is through Hebron. And when a Jew purchases anything, it's a big thing, because you're making a kinyan, you're making an acquisition, and you're putting your essence inside the thing that you're purchasing, even more so when it's a lot in the land of Israel. It's a lot in the land of Israel. And a person like Avraham Avinu, when he buys something, puts his all into it, puts his essence into it, so too that's what was happening in the land of Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu was essentially buying the way for us to have a place to hold on to, the place for us to keep our family close to. And it's not for nothing that land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, Israel is Yaakov, Yitzchak, Rivka, Sarah, Avraham, Leah, all the names of our forefathers inside the name Israel. And they're all buried in the land of Israel. And most of them are in Hebron. Hebron is from the word chibur, connection. Hebron, like we said, is the opening to Gan Eden. It's the place that connects Shamayim V'aretz, the heavens and the earth. And we want to, before we even get into the shiur, just pray for Hebron. Hebron, he kirat arba. Kirat arba, and Hebron is the one. Just to pray that our city will be returned to us, the city of our forefathers, that they, each one of them lived there and had time there. David HaMelech Bad also made the capital of Israel in the beginning. The kingdom started in Hebron, before Yerushalayim. And right now, unfortunately, Hebron is over 98% not Jewish. Not ours, not in the right hands. And that's a horrible galut, a horrible exile that we're experiencing as the nation of Israel. That one of our holy cities is so ruled. And it's not only that it's not in our hands, it's one of the worst places in the world for violence and planning of attacks and disgusting, vile things that are done in the name of some other religion. Some false beliefs. So a tefillah. You can't even get into the Ulam Yitzchak, the room of Yitzchak Avinu. 10 days a year. 10 days a year is what we are allowed to go into a building that was built by us, that has inside of it the burial place of our forefathers. 10 days a year is how much we're allowed to go inside that place. It's an embarrassment and it's a shame. And the tefillah that we get back in a temple part of Eretz Yisrael, with the rest of Eretz Yisrael, everything that belongs to the Jews, we want it back. Wherever Avraham Avinu walked, that's our land. And we want it back. So we have to pray for it, we have to daven for it. Zat Hashem, let's get into the parasha. Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah. Parasha starts, Vayu Chayei Sarah Me'a Shana, Ve'Srim Shana, Ve'Sheva Shanim, Shnei Chayei Sarah. Sarah's life was 100 year, no S. It wasn't plural. 100 year, 20 year, 7 years. What's the only number there that's singular? 7. The rest are. Rashi says on this, before we even get into anything, Rashi just says on this, Nichtav Shana. That's why it was written year. 100 year, 20 year, 7 years. Why? That Bechol Klal Uchlal, Lomar Lecha Shekol Echad Nidrash Leatzmo. Everyone you have to understand individually. 100, understand what's 100. 20, what's 20? 7, what's 20? You say a person lived for 127 years, but then you say Sarai Menu lived for 100 year, 20 year, 7 years. What's 100 years? When she was 100, she was like she was 20. Like she never sinned. When she was 20, and she never sinned, so then she doesn't have the ability to be punished. This heavenly punishment only started from 20 years old. And like she was like that at 20, innocent, without any punishments, any sins, so too she was like that at 100. 100 years old and 20 years old, she was still as clean, spiritually. She never did anything bad. Ubat kaf, kebat zayin leyofi. And she was 20 with beauty, like when she was 7 with beauty. Her beauty stayed her beauty, her externally and internally. Shnei chayei Sarah, these were the lives, the years of the life of Sarah. Why does it say that? The years, they were all equal. They were all good. Sarah's life was good. She was happy. Her whole life was equally good. Before we even get into the parasha, this is a lesson that we have to take from our foremother, that life is good. At a certain point, we should be able to look at our life, 100, 20, 7, whatever it is, and to be able to say, you know what? It was a good life. It's an aspiration that we should have, to be able to say that. Bezat Hashem. V'tamot Sara b'kiryat arba hi chevron be'eretz kenan v'yavo Avraham nispod le'Sara v'livkota. And Sara passed away in Chevron. Kiryat Arba. Kiryat Arba means the village of four, the town of four. There was four giants that used to live there. And there's also four couples that live in Chevron. Who are the four couples that live in Chevron? Adam and Chava. Avraham and Sarah. Yitzchak and Rivka. Yaakov and Leah. And there's a fifth. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu died outside of the land of Israel, and underneath the ground, he was immediately brought into Ma'arat HaMachpelah, and he's also there. And this is another reason we're going to see very soon that Avram comes to buy a piece of land in Hebron, and it's called Ma'arat HaMachpelah, the double field. Why is it double? Because they say on the Pshat, when you walked inside of the cave, there was two levels to it. So there's two caves within one. It's a double cave. It's also double because of all of these couples that you have inside of there. Man and woman, man and woman, man and woman. And it's also doubled because it's the meeting ground, the middle point between this world and Gan Eden. So it's as if you're standing in two realities. And it's known, there's a zgula for a long life to buy a plot of land. We learned that here not too long ago from Shimi, right? It's a known thing in the Torah that if you want to have a long life, buy a plot of land to get buried in while you're still alive. The more you think about your purpose, it's a bigger blessing for you to have more purpose in life. Right? So think about the day where you're going to end up, which worms are going to eat you, where are they from, what kind of ground are you going to be being in. That will help lengthen your life. Sarah lives again. Let's get into the summary. Again, we're using the book Torah Brura from Rabbi Shimon Abu Chatzera. We're going to get into the summaries here in the bottom, Torah Shimon. Sarah lived again for 127 years, and all of them equaled good. They were all good years. And she dies in Kiryat Arba. Another thing for Kiryat Arba, Yi Chevron, another gem that we didn't say, is that Kiryat Arba, calling out for, that is Chevron. Kiryat Arba, Yi Chevron. The village of four, that is Chevron. Meaning Kiryat Arba is the same city as Chevron. But it's another way to, if you really look at the literal words, B'Kiryat Arba, when I call out Arba, when I call out four, that is Chevron. That is Chevron. What is that? What's four? Four is always Yud Kivavke. When I call out to Hashem, Yi Chevron, that is Chibur, that is a connection. That is connection. Calling out to Hashem, that is connection. So Sarah passes away in Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron, and Avram comes from Beersheba in order to do a eulogy for Sarah and to cry about her. By the way, that eulogy in our tradition is Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil is Avraham's poem, poetic eulogy of his wife Sarah. And there's many, many hints there. You see that it's exactly talking about Sarah. And Avraham turns to the people of the place and he says, I want to buy here a lot of land to bury my wife. And they answer him, you say that you're only a foreigner and you're a resident here by us, you're not one of us. And we say that you're a Nasi, you're a leader, you're a prince over all of us. Therefore, pick whatever you want, take whatever lot of land you want. What do you think Avram does? Avram says, thank you very much, but I want to meet Ephron ben Socha. I want to meet the head here, the true Nasi, the people that he's the one that's in charge of all of you. He rules over you. Let me meet with him. And I want to get agreement from him to sell me this lot of land, Ma'arat HaMachpelah. Because I want to pay full money, Avram says. Full money he wants to pay. Ephron says to Avram, in front of all of the people in the city, that he doesn't need to pay, I'm giving it to you for free. Bury Sarah here, it's all good. Avram says, thank you very much, but I'm paying for the place. I want to pay. And Ephron answers to Avram and says, I'm giving you the land, the field with the cave, and it's worth 400 shekel, 400 silver coins. That's not a lot of money between two people that love each other so much. And then you go and you bury Sarah. I'm giving it to you. It costs 400 shekel, by the way. But I'm giving it to you. This is all a hint. What does he really want? He wants the money. He's telling, why are you telling the price? Who asked you for the price? Avram says he wants to pay. And you're saying, I'm giving it to you. By the way, it's 400 shekel, you know? So pay attention in negotiations. Avram straight away takes out the money, he counts the money, and he gives him the money. And he gives him over le socher, meaning high level. He got good money, everybody in the world will receive it, it's all good. And Avraham Avinu buys a lot of Eretz Yisrael. There's many, many secrets here. Maybe at another time you remind me. We'll go into it, where this money and how it... This part of this money went to buying Yerushalayim later in David's time as well from the Yevusis. The people of Hebron gave their agreement to the selling of this lot of land. Avram makes a proper acquisition. And after that, Avram comes and he buries Sarah in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And everything that was in that field, including the cave and everything that was in there, all belongs to Avram. If we go back last week's parasha, it says, right, the angels came and Ratz Avram el Bakar. Ha Bakar. Avram ran towards the cow, the meat. Ha Bakar is the letters Hakever, the grave. Avram ran to the grave. Where does the Midrash say that he found the cow? Ma'arat HaMachpelah. In the cave in Hebron. El HaBakar, to the kever. He ran to the kever. He ran to this resting place, this dwelling place for Sarah, for himself and for the children, the forefathers. Avram already ran there last week. And when the cow went inside the cave and Avram had to go inside to get him out, what happened?
He smelled the air.
He smelled the air. He said, this is a holy place. This is Gan Eden. And then he saw Adam and Chava. And they got embarrassed of Avram. They didn't want to get buried next to Avram and Sarah. Adam and Chava were embarrassed to be buried next to Avram and Sarah because they weren't holy enough. Like Avram and Sarah. Avram and Sarah did the tikkun for Adam and Chava. This is all the field that we're talking about. And again, we're reading an overview of the summary of the parasha, but if you go inside the words, you see that Ephron doesn't even see that this is a holy place. It's like, well, what do you want, this field? Right? Huh? He doesn't even see that it's a holy place. Avram sees lights coming out of it. And from this we have to learn also a deep lesson. That sometimes what another person sees as darkness could be huge lights for you. Not everybody sees what's special. Not everybody sees the shine. The proper owner, the person that it belongs to them, they're going to see it. But not everybody gets to see it. You have to be careful then, right? Avram didn't come up saying, wow, do you know what field you have? Adam and Eve are buried in there. I want to buy it. You better believe the price wouldn't be 400. 400 million maybe, right? Not 400, right? He came, yeah, listen, my wife died. I need a place to bury her. I want that field there. Can I? 400 shekel. We're talking about, you know, if you had to sell Ma'arat HaMachpelah right now, that building, how much do you think it would be worth? Imagine, right? So, sometimes in life, things shine to you and they make sense to you and there's a light there calling you, but not everybody's going to see it. And you don't always have to sell it. You don't have to make it into something big. Just do you. Make your acquisitions and move forward. Avram is very, very old. It says, Avram zaken ba b'yamim, v'adonai berach et Avram b'kol. Avram was very old and he came with days. Another lesson that we have to take out of this. What does it mean to come with your days? That they're filled. They're filled up. That you maximized all of your days. You come with days. They're good days. They're filled. From the morning to the night, they were filled with the right thing. You were doing the right thing. Avram, when he was old, he came with his days. He was sure of it. He had, what am I coming to God with? With days filled with good. With knowledge that I know I did good in this world. I know I did my part here. And so too, we all have to prepare for the day that we're going to die. And when we get to that point, at least we'd be sure and certain that we're coming with days. We're coming with good things that we've done. And then, V'adonai berach et Avram bakol. Hashem blesses Avram bakol. Bakol is Gematria 30, 22, 52. Which is Gematria, Ben, a son. But he already has a son. He needs a daughter now. And that's where the rabbis say that he had a daughter from this. At the end of his life. And Avram makes him do a promise. Avram makes Eliezer make a promise, right? Simna yadecha tachat yirichi. Put your hand underneath my thigh. This is where the word testimony comes from. Right? That's exactly where it comes from, to testify. והזביחה באדוני אלוהי השמיים ואלוהי הארץ אשר לא תיקח אישה לבני מבנות הכנעני אשר אנוכי יושב בקרבו. What does Avram want? What promise does he need from his servant that served him his whole entire life? Promise me you're not going to take a daughter from me, a daughter-in-law for Yitzchak to get married to, from the land of Canaan. Now we have a certain thing that we have to go into. This is an extremely important thing that when it comes to dating and marriage and the whole world of getting married and who you're going to make your house with. The rabbis teach us on this situation. Eliezer, obviously, he's been with Avram his whole entire life. He would love for his daughter to get married to Yitzchak and for him to be part of the inheritance. And he can't because he's cursed. He's from Canaan. He's from Ham. Can't. It's not going to work out. You're meant to be a slave. Now Avram comes and makes him promise, listen, I don't want my daughter-in-law to come from this land. Go get her from my family. Go back to my family and get a niece. Remember, we just learned that Rivka was born to Betuel. Go there and get someone. We have a question here. What's wrong with the girls of Canaan? What, they do have avodah zarah? They're idol worshippers? So where you came from, Avram, they don't also worship idols? You came from the person that used to make the statues that everybody bows down to. Everybody there serves idols. So what's the problem? Why not women from Canaan? Why can't we have the women of Canaan? Avram, in his wisdom, says, yes, here they do Avodah Zarah. In my family, they do Avodah Zarah. I know the whole world's filled with Avodah Zarah. But the girls that live here have horrible traits, and they act like animals, and they're not modest, and they're backwards, and they have bad, bad traits. Where I come from, the people are good people. And this is an important thing. A lot of bad goes on in this world. What's really important? Good traits. It's extremely important to be a good person. Idols, false beliefs, we can work on that. You believe in this nonsense, we'll wash out your brain. We'll get you to believe in the right things, to strip all the idols and the falseness and JCPenney and eight-armed people, elephants and all these things. It's nonsense anyway. Who really believes in that? It's a picture. If you can see it already, it's not that old. Being a good person, though, that's extremely hard to get to. That's a hard thing. So it'd be better that if we are going to pick someone to marry Yitzchak and she's coming from a house that's doing idol worship, let her at least be a good woman, a good person. It's an important thing to know. So now Eliezer has a mission. You have to go back to Iraq, to Kazdim, to Haran, and go find a wife for Yitzchak. And Eliezer asks, what if I find a woman that's fit to the description that you want, but she doesn't want to come with me to here? She doesn't want to leave Ur Kasdim and come all the way to the land of Israel. Should I leave Yitzchak there? Avram is against that, and he even warns Eliezer that he shouldn't take him there even. Yitzchak doesn't leave the land of Israel. Yitzchak, Avinu, the Gvura, his birth was announced with the announcement that the land of Israel belongs to Avram. Eretz Yisrael and Yitzchak came together. Yitzchak is not meant to leave Eretz Yisrael. Not only are you not going to leave him there, you're not even going to take him there. And he gives Eliezer a bracha, Hashem she'otzi oti mibet avi, v'nishba li shu yiten li lezari et ha'aretz hazot, hu yazor lecha. Hashem that took me out of my father's home and he promised me that I'm going to get this land, he's going to help you to bring my son a wife from there. And if all of that, with all of that, the woman still doesn't want to come, then you're clean from everything I promised you to do. Just don't leave my son there. And Eliezer puts his hand underneath Avraham, underneath his leg, and he makes a promise. Eliezer takes out now 10 camels, and he takes money, and he goes to the city Nachor in order to find a wife for Yitzchak. He sets down the camels outside of the city of Nachor on the Sfat HaBer, at the well, and he waits for the evening. Then what happens in the evening? Back in the day, at the evening, the woman would come out and the women would start to pull water from the well. And Eliezer turns up and he starts to pray to Hashem. Eliezer is Gematria 318, which is Gematria Siach, conversation, prayer. So Eliezer turns to Hashem and prays, Ana Hashem, Azmen lefanai od hayom et hakala avu Yitzchak. Please, Hashem, make it that today already Yitzchak's wife comes, the proper girl comes in front. And he asks from Hashem for a sign. Give me a sign that it's going to be the right girl. He says, I'm going to stand here at the well, and I'm going to wait for the girls to come to pull water. And I'm going to go to one of the girls, and I'm going to ask her that if I can drink water for myself. Hey, can I have some water? And if she answers me, you drink and also your camels should drink, I'll understand that she is the proper girl that's meant to marry Yitzchak. Because Avraham does chesed, and if this daughter also does chesed, they're clearly a match. Avraham's whole entire thing is loving kindness. If this girl says, you drink and also your camels drink, I'll take care of you, don't worry, it's a sign. And by way of that, I'll know that I did chesed with Avraham. He's not even finished speaking to Hashem, and all of a sudden Rivka comes up, Rivka bat Batuel, bechadal shikhma. She has the jug on her shoulder already, and this girl, Rivka, she was a virgin, she was beautiful, and she went down to the well to fill up her jug, and immediately Eliezer runs towards her, and he sees that the water is coming up towards her. And he asks for her, can I have a little bit of water, please, to drink for myself? Immediately she takes down this jug of water. Shtei bevakasha, please, drink. And at the end, she says, can I give some water to your camels as well? And quickly, she runs to the well in order to take out more water for the camels. Eliezer is standing there and he's looking at Rivka and he's silent in order to see, this is really Hashem made me successful, I did my job. And immediately when the camels are drinking, they're finished drinking, Eliezer takes a Nezim Zahav and Shnei Tzmidim, a nose ring and two bracelets that weighed 10 gold, and he gives them to Rivka. And this was the hint that in the future we're going to have 2 tablets and 10 commandments. And then he asks her, who's your father? What family are you from? And is there maybe some room in your house for me to go sleep there? And Rivka says, I'm the daughter of Betuel, and he's the son of Milcah. And she says, we have room to sleep for you and also for the donkeys, for food for them, for the camels and also food for them. Eliezer bows down to Hashem, says, thank you, Hashem, on how quick it was and how everything was waiting for him, everything was prepared, and he found the wife of Yitzchak, everything quickly. 4th Aliyah, Eliezer wants to thank Hashem more, and he says, Baruch Hashem, thank you Hashem. This is one of the first places we have the word Baruch Hashem in the Torah. It's important to know. Noach, I think, also says it. And Eliezer, one of the first times you have Baruch Hashem. Baruch Adonai Elohei Adoni Avraham Asher Lo Azav Chazdo V'Amito Me'im Adoni Anochi B'derech Nachani Adonai Beit Achei Adoni. It's a very, very, very interesting pasuk with a lot of secrets in it. Not for now. So, Eliezer says again, Baruch Hashem, that he did chesed with me and with my master, and he showed me the proper way and a straight path. Exactly what I needed, exactly what everything was planned. Rivka runs to her mother and tells her everything that happened with Eliezer. And Rivka has a brother, and her brother's name is Lavan. Lavan. And when he sees this nose ring and these bracelets, he runs outside to go meet this, who's this rich person that's giving away golden gifts to my sister. And he meets Eliezer outside, watching over his camels. And Lavan invites Eliezer into his house. The pasuk says, Vayomer bo baruch Adonai. Come, the blessed one of Hashem. Lama tamod bachutz? Why should you stand outside? Vanochi piniti habayit umakom legmalim. Levan comes out and he says, why are you standing outside? I cleaned the house and there's room for the camels. So what does it mean I cleaned the house? You understand? Okay, I made a room for you to sleep and there's even room for the camels. The Chachamim teach us also, what does it mean he cleaned the house? He took out all of the idols. Eliezer wasn't willing to come inside the house. He would prefer to sleep with camels than to go inside a house that had a cross in it. And go inside a house that has Avodah Zarah in it. Idol worship and statues and images. And he went inside the house because they told him, Laban told him, I cleaned the house out. There's no more idols in here. And he lets the camels now to go eat and to... They used to put muzzles on the animals so they don't eat other people's food, right, in other people's fields. But here they're being hosted. He lets the camels go. And immediately the family gives him food and honors him. And he says, I don't want to eat until I say what I have to say. And they say to him, talk, go ahead. He says, first things first, I want you to know, I'm a slave of Avram. I'm a slave of Avram Avinu. And he said it with pride. Eved Avram Anochi. I'm a slave of Avram Avinu. It's an important thing. Why? Because his cousin was a Nimrod, and he was also a slave. To who? To himself. He thought he was a god. He thought he was the king of the world. He thought he was... All of Ham's children through Canaan are cursed to be slaves. You're going to be a slave one way or the other. Eliezer's pride was that he could say, Eved Avraham Anochi. I'm the slave of Avraham Avinu, the holiest person in the world. I serve the tzaddik every day. You're also a slave. You're a king with money and everything, but you're a slave to yourself. I'm a slave of Avraham. It's a big thing too. And Avraham has been blessed by Hashem with wealth, with honor, everything good. And there's no doubt at all that anybody would want to marry into Avraham's family. Yitzchak is the most beloved son that he has. He was born when he was already old. He gave him all of his wealth. And my master is disgusted by the women of Canaan. And therefore he sent me all the way back here to your land, the place that he grew up, the place where my master's from, to take someone for his wife, for his son. And when I had a doubt whether the girl was going to come back with me, whether she would agree or not, my master gave me a blessing that Hashem will be with me, and Hashem will make sure that my mission is accomplished and successful, and that I'll find everything I need. And today I left my master's house, Avram's house, and today I'm already here at your land. One of the first signs we have in the Torah for kfitzat haderech, for skipping the path, for shortcuts. Kabbalistic spiritual shortcuts, right? In the morning, he left from Beersheba, and he has to get all the way to Iraq. And in the same day, he's already there. In the morning, he left Israel. In the afternoon, he was already there. In the Torah, mamash. It's not Kabbalistic interpretations. Tfitzat haderech, and one day he got there. The Torah continues to tell us all of this story of how he made an oath with Avraham Avinu. And the whole thing with the camels and what happened with Rivka, the whole story again and again and again. The Torah, which is not its way, the Torah is usually very, very, very precise with letters and how many characters, right? And even sometimes leaving a letter out of a word because you would understand it without it, and why write it if we don't need it. And here the Torah is repeating all of the story. But who's telling it? Who's the narrator right now of the Torah? A slave of Avram. Getting this much showtime? It's not 15 minutes of fame. This is a lot of fame. This is a lot of time. A lot of screen time. How in the world? It says, Yafeh sichatan shel banim. Yafeh sichatan shel avot. Yoter mi toratan shel banim. The conversations of our forefathers are more precious than the Torah that the children got. Look how much our Torah has done for us in our life, and look how much our Torah decided to give room for the conversations of Betuel and Lavan and Eliezer, all these people. Why? Because there's so much we can learn out of it. There's so much that we learned Ashgacha Pratit and Emunah that can come out of these stories. And Eliezer continues and he says, right now, if you want to do with Avraham Chesed, you give me Rivka. And if not, then okay, I'll leave. I'll leave you guys alone. I'll go back on my path. Her brother Lavan and her father Betuel answer, this is all from Hashem. Clearly this is from Hashem. What are we going to say? What claims could we make? Why are we going to try to fight this? Rivka's in front of you. Take her and go. When Eliezer hears that, he bows down to Hashem and says, thank you, Hashem. Fifth Aliyah, Eliezer gives the money and gold, silver and gold, to Rivka. And he gives her the fruits of the land of Israel. Sorry, to the family. He gives the family the fruits of the land of Israel. Everybody ate, everybody drank, and everybody went to sleep in that night. And in the morning, he asked for permission to go back to Abraham. And all of the sudden, the in-laws, the family, said, no, you know, she's just a little girl, let's just say a little bit more time with her. Eliezer says, don't delay me, don't delay me. Hashem made me successful on this trip, it's clear that Hashem is here, don't play games. And they said, since we don't want to marry off a girl without her agreement, so let's ask her, let's see, Rivka, what's your opinion? Do you want to go with Eliezer? And she answers, let me get out of here. She is the black sheep in the family, she was holy, she didn't want to be part of this gangster family. She said, of course I want to go. So they sent her with Eliezer, and when they're going out, they bless Rivka. Shezareich yirbeh v'yifreh v'tatzlichi b'kol. May your seed be successful and increase and be successful in everything you do. Rivka rides on the camel. She goes after Eliezer all the way back to Abraham's house. And then they show up. ותקום רבקה ונערותיה ותרכבנה על גמלים ותלכנה אחרי האיש ויקח העבד את רבקה וילך. ויצחק בא מבור בר לחי רועי והוא יושב בארץ הנגב. יצחק now is coming and he's sitting in the land of the Negev in the desert in the south. ויצא יצחק לסוח בשדה לפנות ערב ויסיינה ויהו והנה גמלים באים. יצחק goes out לסוח בשדה, to talk in the field. To meditate, some say לסוח, לסיח, is also from the word meditation. To go out, and it was towards the evening. From here was instituted what we have, which is mincha, תפילת mincha. The mincha prayer, afternoon prayer, was instituted by Yitzchak. This is also another source from the Torah for התבודדות. We're talking to Hashem in the field amongst plants. And he lifts up his eyes and he sees camels approaching. ותישא רבקה את עיניה ותראה את יצחק ותיפול מעל הגמל. Rivka lifts up her eyes, she sees Yitzchak and she falls off of the camel. Who is this tzaddik? She says to the slave, she says to Eliezer, מי האיש על הזה? Who is that man? ההולך בשדה לקראתנו is walking in the field towards us. And the Eved says, the slave says, הוא אדוני. That's my master. That's my master. That's who you're coming to get married to. Batikach hatzayif v'titkas. And she took the scarf and she covered her face. Eliezer meets Yitzchak and he tells him everything that happened and all the miracles that happened. Yitzchak then brings Rivka to Oel Sarah, to Sarah's tent, his mother's tent. And in the same moment that he walked in, the miracle came back. What was the miracle? In Sarah's tent, and also in Rivka's tent, the lights of Shabbat stayed lit from Shabbat to Shabbat. When Sarah died, that didn't happen anymore. Yitzchak missed it. He lost that. The second Rivka walks inside Sarah's tent, the lights come back from Shabbat to Shabbat. Meaning the bracha is found there. Not only that, the same thing. She used to go make challah every week. And there was shefa bracha that you could never imagine. There was so much. And that went away when Sarah passed away. Comes back Rivka, the bracha comes back inside the dough as well. Another thing that happened, in Sarah's time, there was a cloud over the tent. And it went away when she passed away. And when Rivka came inside the tent, again, the cloud of glory came back over the tent of Sarah. So Yitzchak sees, this is clearly my kala, and he gets married with Rivka. And by way of this love, it's what consoles him on the passing of Sarah. We didn't even talk about it, but Sarah Imenu, when she passes away, there's many opinions of why she passed away. Some say that she was defending the Am Yisrael and saying that there shouldn't be any more problems, any more trouble, any more pain. And there's also an opinion that the Yetzirah, the Satan, came to her and said, look, your husband, went and slaughtered your son, your only son, and after how long it took for you to get him, Avram just went and slaughtered him. Some say from that she died, but that wouldn't be okay. That's not true. Can't be. Why? Because Sarah is Avram's wife, and they didn't complain about anything. And if anything, Sarah would be extremely happy to fulfill the word of Hashem. So what did the Yetzirah say? That's why the rabbis come and say, the Satan came and told Sarah, they didn't do it. Hashem told Avram to sacrifice Yitzchak, and he didn't do it. What's the truth? He didn't do it. But he did go to do it. Just Hashem stopped him from doing it. She hears that they didn't do it, Avram and Sarah in her mind is like, Avram and Yitzchak went against God? So she took her own self to make sure that it wouldn't be, that the family wouldn't have gone against Hashem. Either way, she died out of... There's also another opinion that just hearing that it was done, she was so happy of her son, of what he accomplished, that from her joy and simcha of what Yitzchak did in his life, her soul left. Either way you want to explain it, Sarah was madly in love with Hashem, and Hashem was on her mind more than anything, and she was extremely, extremely, extremely excited to the point of death about what was going on. But now the nation is without a mother, without a matriarch, and these blessings are gone. All of a sudden comes Rivka back inside the house, and all the brachas come back. There's light, meaning there's light of Hashem, there's Shefa Eloki, there's Nivu'ah, there's prophecy, Shabbat the whole entire week. The dough has blessing in it, meaning all the parnasah, all the work that they had to do came easily, came with blessing, came with multitude, and there's a cloud of glory. The lights of Hashem are there, Elokut, holiness. Sixth Aliyah, Avraham gets married to another woman. Right? It's not good for a man to ever be single. Ever be single. You should always be married. Even in your old age. He gets married to another woman, and this woman's name is Keturah. And there's those that say that Keturah is Hagar. It's the same woman. He brought her back, this Egyptian woman, that the mother of Ishmael. He brought her back, and they had six children. And those six children also had gave them grandchildren. Avram already gave away all of his bracha to Yitzchak. Ishmael, whatever he got. And now these children of Keturah, he gave them matanot, he gave them gifts, and separated from Yitzchak, and he sent them to the east. Gave them gifts and sent them to the east. I'm going to stop on this point just to bring what the Neshama Neshima says. Right? The business and teaches us, what is this idea of getting married again, giving them gifts and sending them to the east? He gave all the blessings already to Yitzchak and to Ishmael. The gifts that he gave to the east, to the children of Keturah that were sent to the east, are the gifts of the wisdoms of the body. What's called Derech Eretz, the way of the world. It used to be in the world that people knew how to breathe to regulate their system instead of having to take a medicine or anything. They knew how to breathe, to stretch their bodies in certain ways. Working out. Wisdoms of life that are just mundane, everyday, what foods to eat, what berries are good, the right diet, all these things, the way of the world. It used to be that everybody knew how to act a certain way, and that was what's called Derech Eretz, the way of the world. And there's a lot of wisdom in those things. For example, people can get to very high states of consciousness by way of breathing. And then you tap into Torah, and you tap into spirituality, and you go even further. But just the physical breathing itself can take you to a very high place. All of those gifts and all of those wisdoms, we see them in our generation coming out of the East. Diet, clothes, right? Mindsets and yoga and all this breathing and meditations, all these different things that we see coming out now. Really, those gifts come from Avraham and they were sent to the East to separate from Yitzhak. And now they're coming back. And the fact that they're now coming back, we have to understand that even if the root was in Avraham, let's just go on yoga for example, even if you want to take yoga back to Avraham and say that it was a derech eretz practice, there's nothing wrong with it, there's no idol worship, the truth is that from Avraham until now, if you look at that region of the world, all there is idol worship. So even if the thing is true at its core, the kernel of it, we have to strip away all of the levels of impurity that have been attached to it. And it's for sure that a majority of these things that are coming out of the East, specifically out of Hinduism, Buddhism, and all these things are filled with impurities and avodah zarah and false mindsets and things that are not healthy and not conducive for a Jew. And now that they're coming back in our generation, it's a clear sign that Avram the whole entire time wanted to keep these things precious and guarded for us in, so to say, a time capsule, until the end of the days when we'll need breath work back. We'll need the ways of Derech Eretz back. Now we need to make the unification between the body and the soul. That's now in our generation. We're getting closer and closer to the final unity, what is Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, and the Chaya Olam Abba, where the body and the soul serve Hashem together in unity. And now we see that it's coming back out of the East. The only thing is, though, we're still the children of Avraham. We are still Yitzchak. We never left the tent of Avraham. We have to be righteous, we have to be holy, and we have to follow the path of Avram, which is pure connection to Hashem without nonsense, without any idols, without all the false beliefs, without Om and without statues and without any of that nonsense. Pure connection to Hashem. So although these things are coming back in our generation, and it's clear that Hashem is behind all of this, we also have Halacha, and we also have Hadracha, and we also have the ways that the Tzaddikim want us to engage with these things. So we have to be careful, very careful with what are out of these practices are we engaging with and how we engage with them. But these are the children that he had back from Hagar, Keturah, and sent them off. Avraham lived for 175 years. And Avraham has passed away, b'seiva tova. He passed away at a very old age. Zaken b'savea. He's old, satiated. V'yasef el amav. And he was gathered into his nation. And they buried him, Yitzchak v'Ishmael, Banav. They buried him in Marat HaMachpela. But the Pasuk says Yitzchak v'Ishmael. Who's older?
Ishmael.
So why is Ishmael not mentioned first? The honor should be given to Ishmael. He's the older son.
He's not the birthright.
He doesn't have the birthright, correct? And not only that, the rabbis teach from here that the reason that Ishmael was second is because Ishmael decided to be second. That Ishmael did tshuva, and Ishmael came back, and when they came to the funeral, he says, Yitzhak, you're clearly the continuation of Avram. You're the tzaddik. You lead the funeral procession. From here, we have a teaching that although the Zohar says the last exile the Jewish people will have to go through is the exile of Islam, of Ishmael, right? And we see this now, the whole West is being taken over by Ishmael. There's a storm going through the West, New York, London, Birmingham, all these places just falling down, down, down by way of Islam. So clearly, this exile of Islam is going to happen, right? But from this pasuk, we're told, in the end, Ishmael does tshuva. When they came to bury Avraham, Ishmael showed up to the funeral and said, Yitzhak, my brother, please, clearly you're the one that's the tzaddik, you go ahead. So Bezat Hashem, we pray that all the Ishmaelim in the world, Ishmael, they will listen to God. They will flip. Not that God listens to them. We pray that God stops listening to them. And that they listen to God. They listen to God. And on this, just to say that it says, Kol asher asar lecha emori. Everything that the emori did to you. The Yanuka explains from the Noam and the Melech, how is it that Ishmael has any hold at all in this land? Because they have a brit. They have a brit. They also circumcise themselves. Therefore, you can't have hold in the land of Israel without a brit. And we see this throughout history. The Christians have never been able to take full rule over the land of Israel because they don't circumcise themselves. The Muslims, even though they didn't have complete full rule, they didn't make a country here, right? But they have the zchut to stay here. We see that they're much more successful in staying here than Christians. And this is talked about by the rabbis. So by way of their circumcision, their brit, they have shayachut, they have some kind of relation to the land of Israel. But we have two circumcisions. We have two brits. We have the brit Sfatayim, brit Maor, right? We have down and in your mouth. And if right now we're having problems from a nation called Ishmael, God will hear, God heard. If we're having a problem from them, then we have to just look at the name. What's the name of the nation attacking us? Ishmael. God will hear. And if we have one power over them, which is the circumcision of the lips, right? That we guard our mouth and we don't say bad things, and that we use it for the right thing. So maybe, just maybe, we need to activate our second breed to overcome the one breed that they have. We have two. And how we do that? Kol asher asalecha emori. Everything that the emori did to you. What does that mean? Bimrefi. With the words of their mouth. We can attack and reduce the power of Ishmael by way of kol asher asalecha emori. You have to emor. You have to say holy words. You have to say things. You have to use your mouth in the right way and pray to Hashem. When Hashem is Ishmael, Hashem will hear our prayers. They will already lose complete power and they won't have the power. Hashem talks to us, and He sends us an enemy that their name is God wants to hear you. The name of the nation attacking us is God wants to hear you. All we have to do is start to talk to Hashem. We have to start to talk to Hashem. Yitzchak, so Ishmael does tshuva, and Yitzchak and Ishmael bury Avraham in Ma'arat HaMachpelah, right next to Sarah. And after the passing of Avraham, Hashem blesses Yitzchak like He blessed Avraham, that he will be a continuation. And from Yitzchak now, Yitzchak is the Tzaddik Yisod Olam. Yitzchak is now the ruler of the world. He's the holiest person in the world. Avraham has passed away. Avraham Avinu and Sarah are both now in Ma'arat HaMachpelah. And Yitzchak and Rivka are taking over. The Torah tells us about the life of Ishmael that was born from Hagar, the Egyptian woman. 12 children were born to him, to Ishmael, and every single one of them had their own lot of land, they had their own castle. Ishmael lives for 137 years and dies. And they lived from Chavilah, until Shur, all of the length of Egypt, and that's where they were found. That's where they were found. That's their place. The last word is Al kol pnei al pnei kol echav nafal. May Ishmael fall, Bezat Hashem. May they fall, and if they get back up, then may they get back up in Shuvah, honoring Yitzchak, honoring Avram, their father. Right now, one thing's for sure. We have to daven, and we have to pray, and increase our prayers, that Islam does not spread out through the world more than it already is. The number one problem in the world right now is not... This is not a small thing. It is a huge, huge, huge epidemic. This is a problem. It is a cancer in the world. And we have to pray to Hashem that this nation and their ideals does not spread. Every single human being in the world is at threat by way of Islam, including the Muslims. They prove it themselves. Just look at the Middle East. They kill themselves more than they kill anybody else. That's just because they're next to each other. When they start to be next to you, you're going to be the target.
Wherever they rule.
And they're just slowly taking over rule. Taqiyah, right? They know how to lie. They know how to make ceasefires. This is what their prophet did. The person that they think is the holiest person in the world was a lying, cheat, dirty human being that just went around and doing horrible things. And they hold him as their ideal, most model person in the world. In the end, Bezat Hashem, like the parasha ends, Nafal. Bezat Hashem, may they fall down. May they all be removed from this world if they want to fight with us and hurt anybody else in this world. They believe everything was written. So their downfall is written. Kol maktub. Everything's written. Zat Hashem. To finish off with something good, we have to be besimcha. We have to know that we have forefathers that love us, that invested and put their essence inside the land of Israel. And to not at all, ever be startled or shaken up by others. I think one of the big lessons I take from this is that Avram saw that Ma'arat HaMachpelah was a special place, and no one else could see it. And that's an extremely important thing. Sadeh HaMachpelah, yes, Sadeh is Malchut as well. It's our Tefillot, our Emunah. Other people could see this. To the lower side too, Malchut is the lowest sphira. That's where your Emunah is, that's where your Simcha is. It's all in Malchut, and that's the bottom. For Avram, it was glowing, it was shining. He could see everything good in there. For Ephron, 400 chakra, yeah. We see a lot of things that are beautiful in life. And we see things that are clear to us. And others might not see it. And it doesn't matter if it's a goy like Ephron, or if it's tzaddikim, like Rabbeinu says in Sipurei Masiyot, Shnei Anakim Nosei Ilan, giants that can carry, trees, Nosei Ilan is Yichud Kudsha B'Yichud V'Shchinte. Even if there's Anakim, tzaddikim, that know how to unify all the worlds, and they tell you it doesn't exist, don't listen to them. You know it's true, you're going after Emunah, you're in the Sadeh, you're in the field, you're looking at it, you see. You see it, you see the Petach, the Gan Eden, you see the opening. You see the Tikkun of Adam and Chava. Go after it. Put money into it. Buy it. Don't even take it as a gift. Invest in it. Want it. Take full Kinyan. If you take it as a gift, it's not yours. Put your all into it. Acquire what you see glowing to you and shining to you. Go after it. Chase after it. Follow your Emunah and put your all into it. Put your all into it. And Bezat Hashem, may us, as a nation, may we also look at Eretz Yisrael like our forefathers did. We don't want gifts. We don't want handouts. We'll fight. We'll pay. We'll do whatever we need to get back our land. To have full reign over Eretz Yisrael according to Torah and Mitzvot.
It's amazing what's happened in the past few years. Like, all the nations of the world are unaware of the danger of Islam. And in the past 2 years, we eliminated the biggest threats they...
And they're not even grateful.
Don't forget that. But it says in the Nevuah that at the end of the day, they'll fight each other, Edom and Ishmael, and we'll be on the side watching. Right? That doesn't make sense 2 years ago. Like, we'll be the first target, right? But now that we're like, basically like, you know, we didn't finish, but
we're okay right now.
Yeah.
We're chilling. We're on a break.
They started to fight now. You know what I mean? Like, we have some kind of like.
But what does it say after that? They're going to realize, why are we fighting each other? It's all the Jews. We invite all the nations of the world to Jerusalem. Let's get it on, baby. Let's get started. If it's true that all the nations are going to come to Jerusalem, it's also true that we're going to win. Because they're both written in the same place. We invite the fight. Let's go. We want it to be in peace. We want Hashem to rule over the world. We want everybody to come together. But if we have to fight, we're going to go at it. And if you're afraid of the IDF, wait till you meet the tzaddikim. That is so much.